So, good morning, and hello to all of you. It's a delight to be here and to share with you. And as we come to talk a little bit about Him who you and I know, would you like to join me in prayer? Father, we thank you that you care for us, you love us, and yet you have so much more. You want us to know you deeply and to be known by you. We ask that you open our hearts and our minds now and bless us according to your will abundantly. In Jesus' name's sake, amen. There's no doubt that God knows you and knows you intimately. The question is, do you know him? And what does it take to know God? As Adventists, we talk about knowing God as growing in Christ. And that's right, isn't it? Growing in Christ. It's a process of increasingly becoming like Christ and completing that gospel mission of care and salvation to all. And I want to suggest to you today that with God, there are two levels of being known. The first is creative knowing. The second is redemptive knowing. And throughout the Bible, there are many examples of both of these. The creative knowing is intended to prompt the redemptive knowing. And they both reflect who God is to us, our Creator and our Redeemer. One requires absolutely no effort from you at all. That God is our Creator, that He knows us, requires nothing from you. The other, on the other hand, for God to be truly our Redeemer, requires that we adopt His character, His behaviors, and ultimately, it can determine our end, as we'll read a little more in Matthew as we go along. So creative knowing, and the beautiful recital from Claudette gives us one of the most loveliest discourse of creative knowing. It tells us that God knew us before we were even born. In fact, while we were in the womb, He was forming us. It says that He knows our thoughts and our words even before we have spoken them. And it says that nothing is able to obscure us from Him and Him from us. And it says, did it not, that even the darkness is as light to God. And in Daniel 2, verse 22, it says, there is a God in whom light dwells. There is nothing obscured from God. He knows all, as Creator, as King, as Lord. And in Hebrews 4, 13, if you'd like to turn with me, there's an interesting text there, Hebrews 4, verse 13. It tells us that nothing in creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. Creative knowing, though, is a one-way relationship. That's God knowing us, knowing our characteristics, knowing the numbers of hairs on our head, knowing the colors of our eyes before we are born, knowing where we will live. Creative knowing, a one-way relationship that demands nothing from us, but it is an invitation into a relationship with Christ, who created us and has a plan for your life. And we know that in the Bible. We see individuals in the Bible. So Jeremiah 1:5, we're told there, that before I formed you, Jeremiah, I knew you. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I set you apart. Beautiful. And Nathanael. Christ said to Nathanael, I saw you while you were under a tree. Before you even knew me, knew that I knew you, I saw you. Creative knowing demands nothing from us. God knows us. And you know, the truth is that God has made provision in Christ for every one of us to know him. And a lovely text, which I'd like you to turn to in your Bibles, is Ephesians 1, verses 3 to 9. Ephesians 1, verses 3 to 8. It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he freely has given to us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. The richness there of how much God has given us, how much he desires to bring us into a relationship of sonship, into a redemptive relationship with him. What happens when we come to know God is that he enables us to know ourselves, our future, our worth, our identity. We then enable him to know us not just as our creator, but our redeemer. And we bring him into that two-way relationship with us. We let him into our lives, and we reflect him in our lives. This is redemptive knowing. So redemptive knowing, by contrast, is the recognition by God of one who bears his character, whom he is able to call into eternal life. God desires to be sought and understood. He wants that two-way relationship. He doesn't want to just know you. He wants you to also know him. In 1 John 5 and verse 20, we're told, we know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true by being in his Son Jesus. He is the true God and eternal life. And then in Matthew 25, that famous chapter of the Bible, a chapter of faithfulness and hope and insight, Jesus tells us that God will know his people, and he'll know them by their behaviors which are an outworking of God's character in them. God recognizes us by his character that inhabits our behavior: faithfulness, love, charity, hope, goodness, kindness, holiness, righteousness. These are the character traits of God that he desires to be in us. In 2 Timothy 2:19, we're told the Lord knows who are his, presumably because he sees those character traits in us. Have you ever entered an arrivals hall at an airport, and you're there in the grand expectation of being collected that your host will come and receive you. And they do come, and you see them, and you wave, you recognize them. But they don't recognize you. Christ talks about this dissonance between those who say they are his and those he recognizes as his. Redemptive knowing is Christ being able to recognize us as his sons and daughters. So you won't be surprised when I read to you the scripture in Matthew 7, 21, 23, given what I've been saying. There, in Matthew 7, 21 to 23, it reads, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name, did we not drive out demons and perform many miracles?' Then I will say plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" What was missing? I suggest that one or both of these things was missing. A complete surrender to God, and or an exclusive relationship with God. They were doing all the right religious things, of course. They were keeping God, nevertheless, at a distance. They were not trusting their whole heart and mind and soul to him. They were preaching about the Creator God. They knew God, preached about him, but they were not fully surrendered to him. They were creating spectacles of amazing healings, but they were also secretly trusting in omens. They did not have a wholehearted trust in God. And when things didn't go the way they wanted, they followed their own ideas or their own egos. They were led by their own pride. They were not fully surrendered to God and his will and his way and his desires. So I want to remind you, to encourage you, that the willingness to model Christ's character is far more vital for us today than the willingness to preach it. The world needs Christ, his character, his behaviors, and we, us Christians, are called to be the mediums for that. Our character summarizes the essence of our walk with Christ, because we exhibit back to God and to others Christ, his character, goodness, love, faithfulness, charity, gentleness, patience, hope. Things that our world, my family, my friends, my colleagues still need today. How is God's character developed and his behaviors adopted? Through an exclusive, surrendered relationship with God, through a coming to know and thereby reflecting. You see, relationships determine every part of our life, don't they? Being a child, being a brother, a sister, a mother, an aunt, being a Christian. And for Jesus, the strength of our relationship with him is utmost and foremost. In Psalms 51, King David realized that God didn't want his sacrifices. He wanted his heart. He wanted true, unadulterated devotion. And for David, he knew that if he had kept close to God, he would not have committed adultery, and he would not have tried to hide it by killing another man, and he would not have jeopardized his children's future. God wants to have an exclusive relationship with us. He wants to have the most intimate relationship with us that is possible. He wants us to get to know him as intimately as he knows us. Psalms 139 tells us that, doesn't it? Tells us he knew us before we were even born. Tells us that he knows our thoughts, our words before we speak them. He sees us even in the darkness and in the depths. Nothing obscures us from God. When we talk about relationships, we are, of course, talking about much more than just learning the facts. We're talking about experiencing him on an intellectual, on an emotional, and on a physical level. Intellectual because we know him. We can read, we can study, we know he is God, creator, almighty, or powerful. Emotional because we feel his love. We feel his care. We're moved by his spirit. We are saddened by injustice and hurt. We're convicted to act, to confess. And then physically, because we kneel, we bow, we lift our hands in praise. We dance in celebration as King David did, in tribute to our God. And this week, have you been to a concert, a Christian gospel concert, where you see them lifting their hands up? This week, as I was studying and I was listening to some hymns, I found how the lifting of my hand was raising myself to Christ, to God. Physically, emotionally, and intellectually, God desires that we know him. And yes, he does already know us. So when God said he didn't know those people in Psalms 25, he wasn't saying that he didn't know they existed. He wasn't saying that, was he? He was saying, I didn't know you because you didn't let me know you. You didn't let me come into your life and have an exclusive, surrendered relationship with me. There were too many other things in your life, and I wasn't able to get close enough that my character and my behaviors could be reflected within you. You never opened up fully to me. You see, in the final analysis, God doesn't want what we do. He wants us. Us. Jesus told many parables. And these are stories that help us grow in our spiritual discovery and to enjoy the journey along the way. And the parable of the good seed in Mark 4 and Matthew 13, in fact, in all four Gospels, is a really beautiful one. It can also describe four types of relationship with God. And these are represented by what happens to the seed of creative knowing sown into our lives. They can be plucked, and so fleeting. So before you even understand, you even know and apply, before there's a chance for that seed of knowing to take root, it is lost. Taken over, replaced by something else. That seed of knowing can be starved. So the seed was there, but before you were able to fully nurture it, it was given over by something else. You might have received it with joy and excitement, but you never gave it the space to be rooted. And when things got difficult, that relationship quickly fell away because it was starved. It can be shocked. So you have a relationship because you've received that knowing and you're growing. But then some crisis or trauma comes and you are shocked and that relationship is destroyed. Or it can be fruitful and blossom because it's nurtured, it's securely rooted, And it's able to then bear those fruits of faithfulness, of hope, of love, of charity, both for you and for others. And we're told that fruit hangs from a tree, not because it has been hung there like an ornament, but because it has grown there. And as long as that tree is alive, that fruit will bear repeatedly. And what is the fruit that we're talking about? Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23. Spirit of love, of joy, of peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. And genuine Christian character is shaped when we surrender to the Lordship of Christ and allow his fruit from that spirit of knowing, that two-way relationship, to grow in us. The key to life is to know God. It requires opening ourselves and letting God know us. Me knowing God and God knowing me. Whoa. An intimate relationship with God that reveals him to me and me to him and him to others. How can I know God? A text that I encourage you to know off heart. Jeremiah 29:13. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And that's why David was called a man after God's own heart. He sought God with his own heart. And when he fell, when he sinned, he repented because he loved God with his whole heart. So what does God require of you? It's not that much, actually. And Micah 6:8 says this: to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. So in summary, you were made to know God. However, it is your choice. God dearly wants to know you, dearly wants his character traits to be in you and his behaviors to reflect it. But that means developing an exclusive two-way relationship. You knowing him as intimately as he knows you. A spiritual journey where you're growing in the likeness of his son, sent to give you that example, so you're not left to drift, to be unknowing. He also has expectations that that relationship will reflect characteristics and behaviors that are his. Love, gentleness, faithfulness, patience, kindness, self-control. Be assured, it is by knowing God that we access all that God has for us. It's a relationship that comes with much reward. The desire of Adventism is that we are a people who know God. A people to whom the Lord will say, this is a man, a woman, a child, after my own heart. Come, enter into my rest. Come, you who are blessed of my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. Matthew 25:34. And so finally, when you do boast, because you can rightly boast, boast as hands set, that you know the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness. And may the Lord bless those to be reflected in your life. Thank you.